The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I said that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This season is called Epiphany, which is a kind of revelation. And there have been a whole lot of revelations we've noticed already in the gospel by this time. Jesus was revealed to the shepherds and to the wise men and to old Simeon and Anna in the temple and to Philip and in the previous gospel reading. So now there's more opportunity for people to recognize who Jesus is. The purpose is to make that revelation known to us. And with that, to call us to response, to be involved in God's purposes. In God's purposes. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about yours, about your life and your desires. But it does mean that we are to find our meaning, our purpose, the center of life in serving God and neighbor. In being useful, I guess we could say, rather than being comfortable. Being ready to follow may mean that our life gets sort of jarred off the course that we might have on it. It can be an interruption. So today, the first reading, that reading from the book of Samuel. Samuel is a young boy living with Eli the priest because his mother Hannah perceived that he was a special gift from God, and she had promised that if she had a son, she would give him to the Lord, which meant to take him there to be nurtured and mentored, I guess we could say, by Eli. And so it had happened, but Samuel's just starting to learn. He's still just a boy. Seems to know very little of God. Answers the voice that comes to him in the night because he thinks it's Eli calling. And then finally Eli tells him what to say. And when he says, if you go on beyond what we heard in the reading today, it's a painful message. Because what God says to him is a word of judgment on Eli and Eli's family. Because his sons have been behaving so dreadfully. It's a message Samuel doesn't want to hear. It's one he doesn't want to deliver to Eli. But Eli says, "Tell me." And he does. And so what God wants done is not always what we would want done or what we necessarily want to hear. It's a lesson repeated throughout the Bible. Over and over again, people have their lives kind of set off course. Abraham and Sarah were asked suddenly to leave home. Leave their familiar setting and travel to a faraway country that God would show them. Remember Moses, barely escaped with his life from Egypt, got out of there, finally kind of settled down into the life of a shepherd, and then God called from that burning bush incident, asked him to go back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of slavery. And even though he protested, God insisted, and he did it. And so it goes. The prophets, Amos and Jeremiah and others, found that serving God put them at odds with their own people. They were resented, hated, persecuted because of that. And even Jesus, you will remember, prayed from in the Garden of Gethsemane that if possible he might avoid the cross. So as we come to today's gospel, and this is going to take a little bit of, I guess you'd call it Bible study, because Nathanael seems to be taking life easy, cracking a few jokes, showing no sign that he was really looking for anything. But Jesus found Philip, and now Philip finds Nathanael, and he says, "We found the Messiah, the one that Moses and the prophets were telling us about." And Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip delivers what I guess we would have to call the best evangelism speech ever. "Come and see. Come and see." Now, this is where we have to talk about this text, because it gets weird. Jesus sees Nathanael coming, and before Nathanael has said a word, Jesus says, "Here indeed is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And when Nathanael says, "How do you know?" Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael, did you notice that response? Nathanael says, "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Because you saw him under a fig tree? Is that the deal? What does this all mean? How does the line about Jesus seeing him under a fig tree produce that kind of statement of faith?" So I think we ought to get suspicious. Reading the Bible a point like that, we ought to get suspicious. Now, if someone said they saw you walking into the store, and if you had been going into the store, you would not have been surprised at that, huh? That kind of thing happens. So if Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree and Jesus saw him there, no big deal. But what if he was not sitting under a fig tree? Then maybe Jesus was quoting the prophet Micah. Because Micah says that in the time of Messiah, there will be peace and abundance. And he says this, where everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree. Is that what Jesus is, what this gospel is referring to? Is Jesus telling Nathanael, using that passage to tell Nathanael that the Messianic age is here? In a way of saying that he is the Messiah, and Nathanael gets it. And there's another strange thing in this passage, where Jesus says, "You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now that takes us back to the Old Testament too, and to a story that I'm pretty sure you know. Sometimes those old Sunday school songs are worth remembering, right? Even when they get it wrong. Because we probably all, at some point in our life, wound up with a group singing, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder, we are climbing Jacob's ladder." Well, when Jacob was a young man, he tricked his father, he cheated his brother, and he had to get out of Dodge. He simply had to escape. He ran away. And when night came, he was exhausted, and he lay down to sleep with a flat rock for a pillow. Now that doesn't sound like something I'd like to do, but okay. And in his dreams, what did he see? He saw heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending. Jacob's ladder. Nobody ever really climbed Jacob's ladder. The only thing that happened is these angels were ascending and descending on that ladder. And after the dream, Jacob said, "This indeed is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." In other words, Jacob regarded that place as the contact point between heaven and earth, between God and this world. So when Jesus tells Nathanael that he will see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending, not upon a flat rock, but upon the Son of Man, he is saying that he is now the connecting point between heaven and earth, between God and humanity. Jesus is where we receive forgiveness. Jesus is where we learn the reality of God. Jesus is where our life can get refocused. In the case of Samuel, God's voice came with judgment and promise. A hard word and a message of judgment for the family of Eli the priest, but a promise, a new beginning for Samuel, because now Samuel becomes the leading prophet in Israel. In the case of Nathanael, Jesus brought a promise that the presence and the purposes of God would become clear to Nathanael through all that Nathanael would see as he followed Jesus. I suppose you've heard this before, that almost all of the original disciples lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. We are told that only John is the one who lived and died a natural death in old age. There are some real costs, or there can be some real costs in this world. God does not always focus on us, on serving us and our comfort or our success. But sometimes God asks for our faith and our service when it is very uncomfortable. Years ago, I heard this, I think it was a sermon illustration way back then, between two Christians, and one said, "When I got to know Jesus, all my problems were solved." And the other one said, "When I got to know Jesus, all my problems started." That is, his life was challenged, his life was changed by Jesus. The second lesson makes that clear today. Here, writing to the Corinthians, Paul says that they've got a problem. Earlier, he had assured them of their freedom in Christ. Christ means you are free from all those checkpoints, all those little boxes to check off in terms of the law, of the law that had been given by Moses. And now they quote it back to him, "All things are lawful for us." It would be better to say all things are permitted, but anyway. But they had missed Paul's emphasis. Paul's emphasis was you are free to serve the neighbor. The emphasis on love for neighbor. Paul says in a couple of places, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love that keeps one from doing harm. Freedom to be helpful and useful. God claims all of us. That was made clear in that meeting as well. Should be clear to us. God claims our mind, our heart, our time, our wallet, our relationships, and yes, our body. Freedom from the law does not mean less responsiveness to God, but ought to mean more. God's desire is to mend the broken creation, to rejoin it, reclaim it, join all things together in Christ. That was why Samuel was called. That was why Philip found Nathanael. Jesus had that conversation with him. That's why Paul has to correct that misunderstanding of the Corinthians. That is why God called you, claimed you in baptism, and connected you to the church. And that is why your life can get interrupted sometimes by requests to help and invitations to serve here at St. Luke's and in Buffalo and in the world. Day by day, we know that our lives are renewed in the love and the grace of God. But also day by day we are challenged. Ask if we are ready to follow. I think it was John Lennon who said something like, "Life is what happens when you're busy doing other things." We can say that whatever you're doing, whenever you are busy, the call can come again. Christ calling you out of old ways and old ruts with that persistent question to us, are you ready to follow? Prompted by the Spirit, may we ever be ready to say yes. Amen.